Good morning. How are you guys doing? Did Justin call me short? Okay. Yeah, if you ever wonder what Pastor Matt looked like, if you dried him in your laundry, this is it. And my shirt fits. Hey, welcome. If you're here for the first time, we're in the middle of a series, and I'm loving this series. I don't know about you, but as we're going through this letter of Peter, the book of 1 Peter, and the title of the series is called No Place Like Home. And you can probably tell, or you're going to tell really quick, originally my home is not California. I'm from Oklahoma. Can you tell? Yes, an Okie. And my wife and I moved out here a few years ago. And actually, Sandals has been an awesome blessing. It's made it feel like home for us. But, you know, the towns that we grew up in were small towns. So this, you know, transition out here was a big move. In fact, my first experience in Los Angeles, and this was 13 years ago, okay, so don't think I'm a total idiot, but my first, you know, summer in Los Angeles, we were, you know, taking students all around the city, and I had to find an office supply store one day, and I'm like, oh, no problem, I know this huge one. So I grabbed my friend, we went driving, we went past Old Town Pasadena, I'm like, no, keep going. We went past Chinatown, I'm like, no, dude, it's huge, it's right off the highway, you won't miss it. We get near downtown, and he looks at me, and he goes, wait, is it a Staples? And I'm like, yeah, it's like the mother of all staples. He goes, dude, that's the Staples Center, Claude. There's no office supplies in there. The only thing in there is nachos and the guy from The Shining, all right? So, what do you do? I never thought we would move out here. Everybody in the Midwest knows that California is filled with weirdos, right? But man, we moved out here. And I thought through the whole thing except one part I didn't think through. When we moved out here, we sold our house in Oklahoma, and literally as I'm walking out of our house, I'm putting a down payment on our house here in Riverside. We got the house we wanted, got all of our stuff moved out here. The only hiccup was for 4 months, I had to stay with our ministry in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so here I am, and I'm 38 years old, I got two kids, and we did what nobody ever really wants to do. We moved back in with my mom. Okay, now I don't care how much you love your mom. I love my mom, but you know, it was like character building time, you know? And just because God has a sense of humor, that the weekend we moved in, Tulsa, Oklahoma, got the largest snowfall that it's gotten in like 100 years. We were literally, for 9 days, we're buried in with me and my mom and our family, and I thought somebody was gonna die, all right, at the end of that. I was digging my way out, and we were stuck, you know? It was, and the whole time I'm in Snow, Oklahoma, you know, that's what they called it. The whole time I'm stuck there for 4 months, I'm thinking, I own a home in California. You know, I got keys where there's sun. I can picture palm trees, you know, everything. And I'm like, this is insane, you know, but if we can endure this, we'll be happy later. And Peter is writing to a church. And he's saying to them, endure. He's saying, look ahead and endure, because he's writing to a church, to be honest, they're facing probably some of the worst persecution the church has ever faced. Nero is trying to wipe out Christians off planet Earth. And he's encouraging them. The reason this series is called No Place Like Home is he's saying, look, you have a better, more everlasting home. It might feel like it's 1,000 miles away, but wait and look forward and hope. Put your hope in that city, because that's the city that's going to last forever. You know, when we lived with my mom for 4 months, you know what we didn't do? Buy decorations. You know what I'm saying? We didn't buy furniture for my mom's house. We were saving up for the other city. In fact, we started to view everything through like the California lens. You know, I owned 10 coats. I never counted before, but I owned like 10 big burly coats. I gave 9 of them away because we're moving to California. Sweaters, we gave them away. Wool socks, threw them away. Keep the sandals, you know, the sunscreen or whatever. But like, we started to see everything through that lens. In fact, best day of my life, I gave away my lawnmower to my neighbor. He's like, dude, are you sure you don't want to keep your lawnmower? It's like 2 years old. I'm like, no, dude, I've been to Riverside and I've seen it. Trust me, there ain't no grass, all right? You can have it, enjoy. And I started to look, because that city, that future city, began to affect the way I live now. And Peter is writing to them to say, look, hold out and wait. And This week, if you have your program, what we're talking about this week is the fact that as a Christian, you sort of live in two cities. This is a tale of two cities, is what I called it. Because we live, you know, with our feet firmly planted in this earthly city now, but we are also citizens, we're residents, we have a home that Jesus has prepared for us in the everlasting city that's to come. And Peter is going to write to this church to encourage them not only to wait for that city, but he's also going to take a moment here at the end of chapter 1 to talk about just how temporary this earthly city is. Because your life is going to tell a story. We live in these two cities, and it's a tale. Your life is going to tell a story, a tale about you, about which city you really lived for, either the earthly or the eternal. And at the end of our life is going to paint a picture for the world of one of those two things. So let's look at God's word. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll dive in. God, will you speak to us this morning in the next 30 minutes as we look at your scripture? God, would you speak to us through your word? God, would you speak to us and give us eyes to see the eternal city that is to come? God, would you make sure, first of all, that we have a foundation there in Jesus Christ. God, there might be some here today that don't know Jesus, and I'm glad they're here. But this message is also for us as Christians, God, that we would not get wrapped up and allow our hearts that so easily get wrapped up into loving this world. And so, God, would you exhort us today to live for that future city? And we pray that in your Son's name. Amen. Well, if you want to build, this is point number one. If you want to build an eternal home, you need a different kind of tool. You need an eternal tool. You got to have the right tools. And you know, have you ever tried to do a job with the wrong, tool? I don't know how many times I've not had a hammer. Well, the problem is I usually have the right tool. It's like in my garage. I'm too lazy to go get it. And so I've used everything for a hammer from like a shoe to an aerosol can, You ever been that guy? I'm sure the ER is full of people who try to use the wrong tool to do some job. Derek, you guys all know Derek. One time Derek was hanging a picture but he was using this big DeWalt drill. And he's just hanging a picture, but he drills through his water line in his wall. Sprays him in the face, which I think is hilarious. You can't use a man tool to do a boy's job, Derek. You got to have the right tools. And so this passage is telling us, how do we build on this eternal foundation? We have to use the eternal tool that God's given us, and that's his word. Look at Proverbs 24 really quick here. A house is built by wisdom. It is established by understanding. This isn't wood and nails. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled. They're decorated with precious and beautiful treasure. This is not talking about a physical house, is it? The Proverbs is reminding us, is saying, this is how you build a godly life. Where do you get wisdom? Where do you get understanding? Where do you get knowledge other than the Word of God, the enduring Word of God? And this passage, two times, Peter is going to describe God's Word as enduring. It is the enduring word of God. Later in 24, he's going to say, the word of the Lord endures forever. You want to build something on that foundation that's going to endure. Because life has storms. And, speaking of Oklahoma, my wife and I, we just took a trip back in May. We were there for 5 weeks. And if you remember, Oklahoma in May was not the place you wanted to be. And you probably saw on the news some of the largest, most devastating tornadoes I've ever seen come through Oklahoma City and some of those places. And let me tell you something about a tornado that size and that powerful. When it's gone through, the only thing left in many of those places is the foundation, the concrete foundation. And anything that is not bolted to that foundation, it's gone. It's because, think about it, you trip and knock a hole in your drywall, don't you? You ever done that? But you can't pick up a Mack truck. A tornado can pick up a Mack truck and throw it at your house. So anything that is not anchored to that foundation is gone when the storms come. And the church is facing a storm. Peter is saying, you need to anchor things that are going to last, that are going to endure. And the word of God is the only thing that is going to endure on that foundation. Look at Matthew 7. Jesus tells a parable about two people that build a house. You remember this? He says, one person builds on the rock, And those are the people that hear my words and obey it. But he says, another man builds his house on the sand. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the river rose, and the winds blew, and it pounded that house. And its collapse was great. That guy's life told a story. That guy's, your life is going to tell a story about you, about which foundation you built on. And when you see sand, don't think the beach. Planet Earth is the sand. Jesus is saying this world and everything in it is temporary, and it is no place to build a house that's going to last. You need to build for the eternal city. You need to build on the foundation that's everlasting. And we do that by obeying God's word. And by the way, when storms come, a lot of times for us, when tragedies happen, tragedies reveal your treasures. The time that your story will speak the loudest to this world is in times of tragedy and in times of the storm, because that's what's going to reveal your true treasure. When they're interviewing people, you know, in Oklahoma City after those tornadoes, nobody's talking about their TV, are they? Because it reveals what really matters to us. Now, number two, it's not enough just to know God's word. Jesus says, man, these people knew, they both heard his word. So number two, we must know God's word and what? Act. And act on it. Knowing it's not enough. I can think of so many times in my life where I had a decision to make and God's word came to my mind and helped me decide what to do. And in those moments, that's when we get the chance to say, how do I build on this foundation for eternity? One of the things I was thinking about this week, when I was in college, my roommate and I, we had like the worst landlord on the planet, dude. He took a huge deposit from us. We never heard from him. I was pretty sure he was going to rip us off. My roommate said the same thing. My roommate came to me one day, you know, when we were kind of about to leave. He goes, you know, I'm just not going to pay my last month's rent, Claude. I'm just going to walk away because I know this guy's going to rip us off. And I was like, man, dude, I can't do that. I can't do that. And Psalms 15, there's been so many times this psalm has come to my head. God says, who may dwell in my presence? Someone who keeps their oath even when it hurts. You know how many times I've made a decision based on that? Who may dwell in my presence? Somebody who keeps their promise, keeps their oath even when it hurts. I said, dude, I'll pay your rent and mine, but I'm going to keep my oath. And I did. I paid both of our month's rent. And you know what? Our landlord was so impressed with my integrity. No, I'm just kidding. He totally ripped us off, that dirtbag. He took our money. I never heard from him again. But dude, I kept my integrity. And that was worth more than a month's rent, right? And we must know God's word, and we build when we say no to self. And we build when we say no to sin. When we believe God's promises are better, and we say, you know what, this doesn't seem right, this doesn't feel right, but God, I'm going to trust your promises, and I'm going to say no to self, or I'm going to say no to sin. Those are the kind of things that say, God, we're trusting in that eternal city. We're building on that eternal foundation, not what we see, or not what the culture is doing around us. Let me tell you another area that it affected. It affected how I dated my wife. When we were in college, I met Rebecca, and she never kissed anybody, you know, and we started dating, and she's like, you know, I want my first kiss to be with my husband. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. I was like, wait a minute, you know, started to think about the implications of that. But our purity standards, our sexual purity standards for how far we would go in our relationship came from 1 Timothy 5:1, because God discipled me, you know, pointed me to this verse. Now listen, this is really going to creep you out. 1 Timothy 5:1, treat older women with honor and younger women as sisters in all purity. That was our standard. Anybody that I'm not married to, I treat like a sister. We had basically a one question test for what we would do physically in our relationship. And the question was, would I do that with my sister? I mean, it's amazing what kind of clarity God's word will bring to a situation if you know it and you act on it, right? We basically held hands. And for 2 years, our first kiss was our wedding kiss at the altar. And which is awesome, because now she thinks I'm the best kisser in the world. See how that works out? God works all things out for the good. But you know what? This May, we were married 14 years, and I think God has blessed our marriage because we're not perfect. God has blessed our marriage because I married somebody who knows God's word and acts on it. And she is living for that city. And God's blessed our marriage. Yeah, you can clap for that. The Bible keeps going. Now, Peter's going to do something here at the end of this first chapter. Instead of talking about the heavenly city, he's going to stop to talk about this one. And he's going to stop to remind them that what they're going through is temporary. And this whole life, this whole world, all of history is very temporary. Look what he says, verse 24. But all flesh, that's us, is like grass. All its glory is like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower is going to fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached as gospel to you. Now, listen, the one thing I don't have to explain to people in the Inland Empire is that grass withers, right? We got that? Which is funny because in Oklahoma, nobody's trying to keep their grass alive. But here, we all get it, all right? Otherwise, we'd be living in Blythe or, you know, whatever. We get grass withers, doesn't it? It is temporary. It is short. And something that Matt said last week I thought was so good. And he said this, that whatever has your thoughts has you. Do you remember that statement? I think that even went up on the Facebook page. Whatever has your thoughts has you. In other words, we're all sort of watering something with our thoughts, our time, our treasure, our talents. You're watering one city or the other by how you act, how you invest, you know, your life. And if that's true, and we think about, you know, we're going to be in this heavenly city someday, what is that landscaping going to look like for you? What's your heavenly landscaping going to look like if we're all watering one place or the other? Last week, Matt also talked about this verse, 1 Peter 1:17. Remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites, and he will judge, and this is the part I want to talk about, he will judge and reward you according to what you do. Listen to me. We are all saved by faith, but you are rewarded in the heavenly city by what you do. We are all equally saved. Everybody with me? Okay, we are all equally saved on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross on our behalf, but we are not all equally rewarded in that city. This was new to me. I'd been a Christian for a long time before I realized that that's what the Bible teaches. Look at 1 Corinthians. Now, this is the Apostle Paul teaching, and he says in 1 Corinthians 3, no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not even sure if you have a foundation in that city, I'm glad you're here. You might even fill out a blue card at the end of today and just say, I want to know more about that. But now he's speaking to Christians, okay? And he says this, if anybody builds on that foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, straw. Each person's work will become obvious because that day will disclose it. It will be revealed by fire, and fire will test the quality of each person's work. And if anyone's work he's built survives, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burnt up, it will be lost. He will be saved. They'll go to heaven, but it will be like an escape through fire. What? What? I thought we all had a mansion of gold or bronze, right? I'd be happy with bronze now because I'm looking at this going, dude, some of us are going to have a sleeping bag, a foundation and a sleeping bag. Now, dude, don't get me wrong. A sleeping bag in heaven is going to be better than anywhere else. You will be eternally happy. But if our life is going to tell a story, that city's going to, your eternal life is going to tell a story about you and about which city you lived for. All eternity is going to echo what you invested your life in. That's a big deal. We have a very short amount of time to say, God, we want to invest in that city. And I was thinking about, you know, this is kind of God's version of the three little pigs, you know, except God's a fire-breathing dragon, and he's going to test your house, and you don't want it to be built of hay. when I was thinking about this sermon, I thought, you know, for me and for probably many of us, the most tangible, practical way to say, God, we're going to force ourselves to invest in the eternal city is just through giving. I think giving is the best way to train ourselves to invest in eternal things. Nothing just pulls at our flesh like being, you know, just generous, even in secrecy or whatever. And it doesn't have to mean, you know, that you give an enormous amount of money. I think there's plenty of ways to be generous. In fact, when my wife and I, you know, moved here, one of the things we've been doing this last year that I think is so fun is we've been giving stuff away on Craigslist, especially baby stuff. Our boys are old enough now that they don't need, you know, the stroller and all that. And baby, nobody wears out baby stuff. Come on. Babies don't use it. They just lay there. So we get, you know, all this stuff's like brand new. And our parents and grandparents bought us nice stuff. So I put it on Craigslist. And let me tell you, I've got to take it off Craigslist in like 30 minutes because I'll get 100 emails from single moms, from people in need all over this city who need that. And you know what's so fun? Is just reading through. It's like being Oprah. You know, like, you get a baby stroller. You know, you get to go through and pick and just be a blessing. You know, high chair. In fact, we've done it so many times. We had the same single mom to our house twice. She showed up the other night and we were like, she was like, I thought this looked familiar. We were like, come on in. You know, she's having coffee on my couch. And I'm like, you know what? Do you have a monitor? She's like, no. I'm like, babe, go get the, you getting a monitor, video monitor for everybody. It's awesome. And you can build an eternity by just being generous. My wife, she took our boys with some other moms, and they went to Arlington Park, and they took an ice chest full of ice water, and they were just handing it out, and they had a sign, because otherwise you are a weirdo. They had a sign that said, we're teaching our children about being generous. And they just gave away ice water aggressively. You know how little kids are. They're like, take the water! They're like chasing people, which is kind of weird when they're on their second lap, and they got like three waters. Gonna stiff arm my boy. But giving is one of the greatest ways to train ourselves. And let me tell you something. I was reading Psalms this week. Psalms 37:26 says this, the righteous man is lending generously and his children become a blessing. You want your children to become a blessing in this world. Let them watch you be generous. Because I tell you what, your life is telling a story and they are already reading it. They already know. Your life is already telling a story to your kids about which city you really value, the earthly or the eternal. Number four, location, location, location. It's all about location. That's like what rule number one, two, and three in real estate. It's the right house in the wrong part of town is the wrong house. How many of us, you know, that you bought a house and you moved in, you're like, dude, this is awesome. We're in a great area. We're right next to this and this. And then like a year later, you're like, oh, we're in the ghetto. You know, you're pretty sure there's a meth lab, you know, next door. And I don't think that American flag's going to help our property value, you know, in the neighborhood. You evaluate everything your neighbors do based on how it affects the neighborhood. Because, man, location matters. Getting the right location, it could make or break a lifetime of investment. Look at what Peter says. And now this is actually going to another letter. Peter doesn't just say this to the church once. He puts this in second, you know, Peter. It's a different letter just because he's trying to remind them, do not live for this city. And this is kind of intense. I'm just going to warn you. Look what he says. The day of the Lord will come. And that's the return of Jesus. It will come like a thief. This isn't the nice, you know, coffee with Jesus is my homeboy Jesus. This is the riding a white horse with a sword in his hand to judge the world, Jesus. And he says he'll come when you don't know, like a thief. And on that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved. The earth and the works on it will be disclosed. And all things are to be destroyed in this way. And since they're to be destroyed in this way, it is clear what sort of people we should be in holy conduct, in godliness, as we wait. He's saying, wait for that city. As we wait, we desire the coming of the Lord because the heavens will be on fire. You thought it was hot outside today. It will be dissolved because of it. The elements will melt with heat. But based on his promise, we wait for the new heavens the new earth. Live for that city. Peter is saying, live with all your might for that city. That is the only city that's going to last. Do you know how many times in Scripture the metaphors remind us of how temporary this world is? It says that your life is a mist. James says your life is a vapor. Psalms says that your life is but a handbreadth. It says all of mankind is but a mere breath to God. You're even just on history. It's so hard for us to grasp eternity, but you're like a grain of sand just in history. But in eternity, all of history is a grain of sand on a planet, in a solar system, within a galaxy, in a universe that is a mist. It is a shadow that's going to be gone. And Peter is saying, listen, your 401k, your car, your clothes, your house, it is going to be like a flower that blooms up in glory and then immediately withers and falls, and your story's over. Like that. You're a dandelion. You're a dandelion. I went on YouTube, and I just type in lifespan of a dandelion. Got this little time-lapse video. And went... looked like that. It was 3 seconds long. It's like, that's the worst video I've ever seen in my entire life. I want my 3 seconds back, you know? That's it. You're a dandelion. It rises up in glory and immediately withers and it's gone. You know, when Jesus reminds us there's going to be two cities, Matthew 6. And he says this, and he's talking about where your treasure is. That's where your heart's going to be. Is it bad to own a house? No. Is it bad to own a car? No. But that's not my treasure. You with me? And he's saying, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth where moss and rust destroy, where thieves steal, but collect for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust can destroy, where thieves can't steal, because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Begin investing your treasure in eternal things. And you want your heart for God to grow? Put your treasure there. When my dad passed away, and this was several years ago, but I remember I was so busy trying to take care of my mom and details and stuff that all of a sudden I found myself sitting at the funeral, and it was the first time it dawned on me, somebody's going to preach about my dad. They're going to talk about my dad for the next few minutes. And it never even dawned on me, what are they going to say? And there was basically one word that was preached about my dad that day, that he was content, that he was a content man. And I left thinking, what a compliment. My dad was 82 when he died. He grew up in the Depression. I would have been a hoarder in life if I grew up in the Depression. But you know what? He was content. He was one of the most generous people I know. He was content so he could be generous. He was content he could be kind. He was content in marriage, so he stayed faithfully married to my mom 30-something years till he passed away. My dad was content. It's a great compliment. And that day, his life told a story. Your life is going to tell a story about you, about which city you really lived for. And in a way, we all get to preach at our own funeral. We all get to write the message that will be said about you, and your car's not going to show up at your funeral and talk about how great you are. So we got to live for the right things. And listen, if you're here this morning and you're saying, Claude, man, that's not my story. Because it's easy, isn't it, to fall in love with the things of this world, the things that are immediate, the things that are here. I'm the same way. Some of you are saying, man, my story, Claude, it's like somewhere between a comedy, a horror story. I don't know, you know. And I was praying for our church and saying, God, what do you want to say this weekend? And this is what he said, number 5, that God, listen to me, God can rewrite the ending to any story. Amen. And you know what the proof is? Peter. Peter, who's writing this letter, is living proof of this. Peter didn't get a great start out of the gate. Peter tries to walk on water and sinks. I would have never showed my face again, all right? And I'm sure the stink like rock jokes, you know, just made it even better the rest of his life because his name means rock. Peter, stay and pray with me. He falls asleep. Peter cuts the guy's ear off. Jesus puts it back on. Jesus washing everybody. Peter's like, no thanks. I mean, everything Peter does is kind of like, I picture Peter as kind of a bigger, sweatier Justin Pardee, you know, always unpredictable, but never boring, you know, and God uses him. But, you know, here's what I love about Peter. His name was Simon. I don't know if you remember Derek talking about this, but Peter's real name was Simon. Do you know who gave him the nickname Peter? Jesus. Peter means rock. And all through his life, he doesn't look like a stable rock. But all through his life, Jesus is going, the ministry with him, Jesus is saying, you're a rock. Peter, you're a rock. Even when he sinks, he's like, you're my rock. He's not describing his past. Jesus is talking about his future. He's saying, Peter, I'm going to rewrite the ending to your story in such a way that you become the leader that I build my entire church on. Trust me, God is a professional at rewriting the ending to your story. He can take the crucifixion, the worst event in history, and make it into the resurrection. He can rewrite your story or mine. We just got to hand him the pen. If that's you, and you're saying, man, I don't know if I have a foundation in that city that you're talking about, Claude, fill out a blue card in the back of your seat. Say, I just want to talk to somebody on staff about that. For some of you, it might be first steps that Justin mentioned and saying, I want to learn how to live my life and build a house that's of godliness that's going to last forever. And I want to learn how to build it on his word. There's places in the church to help you plug in. Talk to somebody about doing that today as you leave. But with all that you have, live for that city. Let's pray. God, will you help us transform our minds with your word? God, give us the tools from your word and the vision. God, give us eyes to see and live for the things that are going to far outlast and far out satisfy this very short life. And God, we look to your promise and we wait. God, I know there's people even this morning facing storms. And God, we know that our lives, even right now, are telling a story to a watching world. And I don't know what's happened in everybody's story in the room, but I know this, the story's not over. And I pray that we would be men like Abraham, whose faith is written about in Hebrews. And it says, he was a man who was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose builder and architect is God. God, would you rewrite the ending to some stories today? And would you help us by your grace to live for that eternal city?